Good morning and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer, and I'm so blessed to have the two guests that I have today to enlighten you on what their wisdom and their books have to offer you as an audience. I'm really gifted today because sometimes it works for me and sometimes it doesn't work for me, but my intention is to create an atmosphere with every show and an energy. And sometimes it works, but sometimes I have last minute, you know, glitches where I have to put somebody else in a spot. And today it worked. And both of my guests have such a wonderful essence, energy, wisdom, light book. Highly recommend both of them. We're going to begin today with my first guest, Jim Phillips, who wrote The Key of Life, and we're going to talk to him and discuss his wonderful, wonderful book. But I find it also very timely because I'm really touched, and although I sound pretty grounded to all of you, maybe a little grounded anyway, I was kind of an emotional wreck this morning. My son's 18, and we have lots of loved ones and kids and friends of his who are attending FSU. And last night there was a gunman who went off in the library. He shot three kids. Right now, I just looked. We still don't know the status of two of the kids. I think one is okay getting treated. The other one, they're not releasing information, or at least I haven't been able to find it. Maybe you guys know more. But I'd like to start today's show off with an energy and a prayer. These kids are all of our kids, and we need to really put some emphasis on the safety of what we have in our future. And if we could all just put an intention of love and light out for this child that's in critical condition, who was a victim today from a violent act and a shooting at FSU. I don't know the name of the person, but if we could just spend a moment, I'm going to be silent for a few seconds here and just shed some silence and love and prayer and light so that this stuff stops, because this is hard. And this is hard. As a parent, as a citizen, this can't keep going on like this. So let's just take a moment and shed some light, shall we? Blessings and prayers for all those involved, all those affected, and may the healing begin. Amen. Now, without further ado, we step into introducing my first guest, Jim Phillips. Such a wonderful book, and I believe, Jim, you're listening to me on the other end there. Jim wrote The Key of Life, and The Key of Life is Living in Full Expression. This is the kind of book that you can open to any page and be touched by its content. It's been written through an openness of spirit in all that is good, light, and love in the world. This is from Christian McCormick, founder of the Spiritual School of Intuitive Arts. Now, you know this is speaking my language. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my first guest, Jim Phillips, author of The Key of Life. Welcome, 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 Jim. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Thank you for being on Unlimited Realities, Jim. I love your book, The Key of Life. Let's dive in and start talking about it. Thank you for writing this book, Jim.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to share what I've come to understand and know.
Well, I found it such a beautiful read and so fluid. It just rolled. It was one of those books that I could go to and escape and just feel like that little warm candle inside burning that just felt like home. And I'm inquiring to you in your heart of hearts to ask what inspired you to write this book at this time, because I do find it poignant at this time in our life that we need more of this energy, essence, influence, resonance out there with all the crazies. So talk to us a little bit about what inspired this for you.
Well, the inspiration actually has been one that I have had for as long as I can remember during this lifetime. I have had this knowing that there was a message that was going to be coming through me. I wasn't sure how. I really wasn't sure what form it was going to take, didn't know what the title was going to be. And yet, as I was going through different phases of my life, and I'm talking about from when I was small up until this point, as I would go through different phases of life, things would happen. Things would put me in front of different people. I would find myself in different circumstances where I would be sharing things being information, wisdom, you can call it wisdom if you want, but that were beyond what I should have been talking about at that particular point in time. So that is what gave me that kind of knowing that something else was going on. And then it just became a matter of being really interested in human potential, human performance, questions like, why are we here? And more specifically, why am I here? What is my purpose while I'm here? And I receive messages all the time. I take early morning walks. And as you read in the book, I refer to those times as being immersed in the silence of the dawn. And that's when I'm most connected. And I receive information that I can expand on. And then essentially I have to live it. I have to go through the experience of whatever it is that I'm being given so that I can share it from an experiential perspective. So it just got to the point where it had to be expressed. So the inspiration was all this information I was given. It was life experiences. But then actually putting it on paper, it got to the point where I could no longer withhold it. I don't want to say the pressure, because it wasn't like that, but the nudging, if you will, was so strong that I was about to burst if it wasn't allowed to come out and be expressed. So here we have the book.
Wonderful. Well, what a great nudge. Because it's written in such a way. I was really blessed with both of you today, because both of you have such an essence, both you and my next guest. It's just a beautiful truth, essence, authenticity, that both of your books really just flowed. And you know, I always trust God's timing. It was at a time where apparently I needed the gentle approach. So I'm going through your book, and I'm looking at your description of how to live in full expression, and I was reading it, and I'm you know, talking out loud to myself as I'm reading your book in agreement. And how can you explain to our audience how they can live in more of a full expression of their lives?
When you asked me that question, a whole lot of things just came to mind for me. The one that I think is the most important is to be aware of who they are in the moment. Mm-hmm. I think we get too caught up in things that have happened in the past, and so we waste our present moment time over things that we no longer have any control over. Or we start projecting into the future, and we have worries and concerns about what we think is going to happen. And so, again, we lose that opportunity to be who we are in the moment. And living in full expression is being truthful to ourselves in each moment. It's about allowing the expression that desires to be expressed through us, and in fact is us, in the moment. It's just being real. It's being authentic. It's being truthful. It is following those nudges and inspirations that were given, and allowing them to be that expression of who we are.
Okay, and that brings me to my next insight, which I loved your description of this. Let's talk about how when we're living in full expression, we tend to live life more on an unconditional basis. And you discuss how people tend to live life conditionally. Can you discuss, can we talk about a little bit what that looks like and what that means? What living conditionally versus living unconditionally looks like?
I think the easiest way for people to understand that is to go through an exercise, and that is to look at those things that you're doing during the day, those decisions that you're making. Are you making them based on how you truly feel, or are you making them based on how you think other people will feel or will react to you based on those decisions you make? And more often than not, what we find is that we're making decisions based on what society expects of us, or what other people expect of us, or because we feel that if we don't act a particular way, we won't fit in with whatever group we're trying to fit in with. And yet, our purpose for being here is to live from the truth of who we are. And it's not about doing things for the benefit of other people. It's about doing things for ourselves so that we can have the grandest experience of ourselves through all the things that are created in the course of our lifetimes to allow for that. And here's the paradox to that, and that is that when we live in full expression of who we are, when we're being truthful to ourselves, we're actually giving other people the greatest gift we can give them, which number one is seeing us in full expression, but it's also giving them permission to do the same. And it allows other people to see that they don't have to live lives conditionally. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't have responsibilities. I'm not talking about that. We all have responsibilities in life, and that's part of being here. But I'm talking about making decisions about things that we want to do that are heartfelt, that we're making because that's who we are, and not because somebody else has said, you need to do this, or you should do this, or there's going to be some punishment you're going to get if you don't do this, you don't do that. It's just about being real.
Right. And, you know, that probably is the one energy that comes through so consistently in the book is this authenticity. And it's just really, it really takes you down to your core in getting real with yourself in regard to what do you want? What are you afraid of? What, you know, it's literally looking at behind the curtain. So When you talk about enriching our lives and finding purpose and living in our full expression, you also discussed the principle of non-attachment. Now, in many times, that can be a very difficult aspect to tap into for people, because as they're starting to look at their purpose or their dreams or their full expression or goals or purpose, they have sometimes a vision of what that looks like, and they attach feelings or emotions or outcome to what that vision looks like. So then we pop in this little concept of non-attachment, and we we try to master this approach of achieving what we are masterful at, yet also staying in this approach and perspective of non-attachment. Now, that is a masterful concept. Let's discuss non-attachment. How can we look at the principle of non-attachment and look at it for what it is without getting caught up in all the hoopla around getting where we're going or expressing ourselves or reaching a desired goal?
All right, so if you look at the whole idea of living in full expression, and I do want to point out that the title of the book, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression, the word life is the acronym for living in full expression. So there is that tie-in there.
Wonderful.
So the whole idea of non-attachment is that we are not those things we do. We're not the things we acquire. We're not the accomplishments we have. We're not the other people in the world. And non-attachment means not identifying ourselves as any of those things. Because if you think about it, if we identify, if let's just say I make a whole lot of money, and that's my primary focus is being a business person and making a whole lot of money. Well, a lot of people who made a whole lot of money during this recent recession, they lost a whole lot of money. And a lot of people lost their identity because that's who they felt themselves to be. And then all of a sudden, what's left is just them. And if we can understand that just them or that just us is who we are, then we don't have, I'm not going to say we don't have the challenges and the difficulties, because that's a part of the process of being alive. Those are the things that help us expand our experience of ourselves. But if we're not attached to those things we do or acquire or achieve, then when they're gone, we still identify with ourselves. We still know that we have self-worth. We still know that we have our essence. The most difficult thing is when we look at non-attachment to relationships, because people will often say to me, well, what about your family? You love your family. You love your children. And that's true. And that's all a part of living life. And that has nothing to do with non-attachment. But again, it just gets back to the point that you don't identify yourself because somebody loves you. You are who you are regardless of whether or not somebody expresses a certain degree of love that you think you might be expecting. And the last part that I want to mention about this is that we certainly want to have goals and objectives that we're trying to achieve. We want to have these dreams and these visions. But if you think about this, we can set a goal for ourselves or have a dream, but that's actually very limiting, because what we're able to achieve and accomplish and experience in our lives is limitless. So if we actually set a goal or a dream that we're going to accomplish, how much are we leaving on the table, so to speak, even if we achieve that dream? So the whole point of non-attachment in this regard is have that dream and that vision and move towards it. Don't become attached to that being the ultimate outcome. Allow the infinite possibilities to also exist. And when I've done that, and when I've coached people through my coaching practice to do that, we have a much greater experience than we ever thought we were going to have.
And when I'm really appreciative of the fact that you're a man supportive and encouraging and teaching of the intuitive arts, because you'll find many, many females who will, you know, myself included, work within the intuitive arts. But when I find a man who's aware and tapped in on that level, kudos, and I'm so happy about that. So, the work that you have put into this book and that comes out in regard to your living in full expression, it does come from a place of creating, showing people how to create heaven on earth. And that brings me to my next question. How can we, with living in the moment and being in our present state and our present awareness and in our principle of non-attachment, how can we more authentically, daily, easily tap into God's will and create more of our heaven on earth?
Well, one of the questions I raise in the book around the whole idea of heaven on earth is, what's your definition of heaven on earth? And I think there's too much of a group consensus that heaven looks a particular way.
Right.
And yet, the way that I view it is that I look at each one of us, you and me and everybody else that might be listening, everybody else on the planet, we are an expression of the divine. And as an expression of the divine, we are here to live an experience of that expression of the divine, to be our creative, powerful essence that we are. Mm-hmm. Heaven on earth is allowing that to be experienced and expressed. That's all it is. It's not about creating some magnificent place. Heaven on earth to me is a state of mind, or it's a state of being. It's allowing that divine essence of us to be what we're experiencing on a daily basis while in human form. And I think that's the important part of this. The part of life that I really enjoy, and I'll be honest with you, that I struggle with, because I tend to go one way or the other with it, and that is the integration of our divine spirit with our human spirit. And what we're experiencing here on the earth plane is that integration of those two aspects. And I will from time to time be way too much on the spiritual side, and I have to pull myself back in, because I start looking at things in perhaps what might be an unrealistic way, because I'm here in human form. And then other times I might get wrapped up in the drama of being a human, and I need to pull myself back to center, allow the integration of the two to take place. But to me, heaven on earth is really just allowing the divine essence of who we are to be the experience we're having, and to enjoy it and play with it and embrace it. I don't believe that heaven is a place that we go once we physically depart this life. I think it's the state of being that we carry with us throughout our lives, and I think we create different aspects of it as we go throughout our life here on the earth. But I think it's just the natural state of being. It's really who we are and how we can experience ourselves more fully.
And how can our faith ignite power within us to become more empowered, to become a more confident to living in our full expression? Because sometimes faith wanes. I mean, you know, I know even in myself, there's definitely times I have to self-talk myself into some faithful experience. But, you know, faith is one of those things right now within our society, our culture, our environment, that people are really struggling with. So how can we kind of ignite that a little bit to become more empowered?
Well, I think there's something we need to recognize, and that is that when we have those moments when, to use your term, our faith wavers, the fact that we're aware of the fact that our faith is wavering is where we then get the right, the opportunity to exercise our empowerment, because mm-hmm. we become aware of it. Whoa, this is not who I am. This is not the experience I want to have. And so the awareness of it, and then the change in thought, and perhaps change in belief or change of behavior in that moment, is what is our empowerment. That's how we move beyond whatever that obstacle or whatever that lapse in faith might be. Now, the other thing I want to mention with regard to faith, and I think this is really important, and that is that life unfolds as life unfolds. And I use faith as an acronym in my book because I believe that if we would just recognize and understand that as life unfolds, it's unfolding perfectly for each one of us with whatever it is that we came here to experience and express. And too often we get in our own ways, we create obstacles, we create unnecessary stress and perhaps some suffering along the way. And so I use faith as the acronym for fully allow it to happen. And that's get out of the way of life, enjoy and embrace mm-hmm. life as it shows up. But it's also about recognizing that life is showing up not by default, although that's the way a lot of people take life, but it's showing up as we have intended it to show up, and it's showing up in the way that it's best suited for us to live the life experiences that we came here to live.
Right, right. And there's this part where when we can kind of get into our essence that it's okay wherever we are and whatever we're doing and the moment is perfect, that we take that pressure off ourselves. Because I think a lot of times there's a self-imposed pressure that many of us put upon ourselves unnecessarily in trying to do or get or be somewhere, something, sometime. And the essence of being sometimes in that is all that is needed. And that's what I really appreciated about the essence of your book, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression. Because, Jim, this was a really guided, gentle nurturing to the heart. And it really let you know, the reader, that, hey, we're all affected by all these little things, and this is the way that we can really make sense and get beyond it. And it was really just such a beautiful, beautiful book. I truly encourage everyone to use this book, to buy this book and use it, because it is one of those books that you can open up at will and look for an inspirational message. And those are always such a beautiful gift, because you can read it all the way through and get all that wisdom and then still use it on your nightstand when you need a little oomph. So again, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression by Jim Phillips. Jim, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was truly, truly my honor and blessing to have you. And thank you for enlightening all of us.
I appreciate that. And Lisa, if I can, real quick, if anybody wants a signed copy of the book, they can go to my website. And I do have some signed copies, which
Wonderful.
Is perfect for the holidays coming up. And that's www.prosperitybydesign.com. So
Wonderful.
Anybody can go on there and get more information.
Okay, I'm typing it out on the forum here. So prosperity.com.
Prosperitybydesign.com.
Okay, there you go, everybody. That's going to be an incredible, incredible gift for anybody at Christmas. I encourage you to buy it for Christmas gifts for anyone who's seeking. It makes for great New Year's resolution gifts. So, Jim, thank you so much for being my guest today. Jim Phillips, The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression. Go out and buy his book. Thank you so much for being on our show, Unlimited Realities. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Lisa.
Have a great holiday. Happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. My next guest is a wonderful, inspiring genius we have coming on here today. I am so blessed to have Professor Anders Nilsson coming on. He's the author of The Gentle Way of the Heart, Discover the Light Within. And this is I'm reading this book and I'm thinking to myself, this is like an incredible brain we're dealing with here. So This is going to be such an incredible wisdom for all the audience today. I'm just going to read what his publicist sent to me. Usually I rewrite what they send to me about the author, but this, it's so chock full, I can't omit anything here. So Anders Nilsson is a scientist who's been active in academia all his adult life, and for just as many years, Nilsson has pursued an avid interest in spirituality. He's not followed any one spiritual school or tradition, nor has he studied with a guru, but instead listened to his internal voice and intuition to guide him. He studied both ancient mystical traditions and the teachings from more contemporary spiritual masters. This blend of spiritual knowledge, which folded together with his scientific background, has formed a unique path to spiritual awakening that combines the mind and the heart. Nilsson experienced a spiritual awakening in 1993 that completely changed his life and view of the world. The awakening was a result of an emotionally difficult life passage that led him to intense soul searching and ultimately to developing the gentle way of transformation. He's taught the gentle way in numerous workshops since 2000. He was born in Stockholm, Sweden. Nilsson finished, now listen to this, his Master's of Engineering degree at the Royal Institute of Technology in 1981, where he also participated in the International Student Exchange Program studying his final year at the Imperial College of London. He received his PhD in physics from Uppsala University in Sweden in 1989, where he stayed on and became professor in physics in 1999. He was invited to UC Berkeley as a visiting scientist from 94 to 97, and then in 2000, he decided he'd become professor of photon science at Stanford University. Currently, he's also professor of chemical physics at Stockholm University and splits his time between Sweden and California. So, yes, we are in the presence of a great mind today, people. So I am thrilled to introduce Professor Anders Nilsson, PhD, the author of The Gentle Way of the Heart, Discover the Light Within. Anders, thank you so much for being my guest today on Unlimited Reality. It is truly, truly my pleasure. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm very honored to be your guest, and I'm very delighted also to talk about The Gentle Way of the Heart in your show.
Oh, this is wonderful, wonderful. Now, as an expert with a PhD in physics, a master's in engineering, a professor of photon science at Stanford University, how did you get your analytical brain to accept the more mystical, intuitive wisdom of the right brain?
Actually, first of all, I might say that if anyone who is actually a very prominent scientist are using a mystical aspect, they might not know it, actually, because some of the ideas that we come up with, it's often coming from somewhere. And I believe they come often from our mystical side, what I call the true self in this book. So we are all in tune with this, whether we know it or not, it's always been there. And I always been a very intuitive scientist. I usually know what I'm looking for, and then we discover it. It sort of comes like that. So it was a little quite natural for me to also start to go into the mystical aspect after I have this, let's say, quite a dramatic opening for myself. And I believe very strongly that we in the future here on planet Earth and we as humans, we have to integrate and see this more scientific, materialistic view of the world. We need to see it also from a spiritual point of view to have this complementarity. So we really can bring a future, what I call what the heart desires, but we let it be manifested through science and technology. And that is going to be a very beautiful future, I believe.
That is a beautiful future, and it's a beautiful reality to witness in our day and age where science and spirituality are marrying more, and you have more of the scientific, that mystical aspect. And you, Einstein incorporated more mysticism as well, and I see a lot of the reference to where you go in the book that brings me to looking at you as one of those incredible pioneering minds of the 21st century that we're going to be talking about for a long, 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 long time. So,
oh, thank you so much.
No, thank you. I truly appreciate your genius. It's truly enlightening. And you tell a little story, and I really appreciated this little story because it resonated very personally to me. But you told a little story in your book about being a child and asking your parents, "Who am I?" And how eventually, after you're asking them so much and they're giving you answers and they're thinking they're doing such a great job answering you and you're exhausting them with the, "But who am I?" They finally had to tell you to be quiet. So in knowing this, because I did this too, how in knowing how many people are feeling similar experiences and similar moments of what's my purpose, how can we begin to probe deeper into the self-discovery and purpose of self through beingness, which you discuss in great detail in your book? If you could explore that for us a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I see a little bit like a two-step process. I think the whole book is actually very much about the map, how to discover more who you are, and also actually a little bit how you view the world and also view your reality, view how you're connected to other people and how you're connected to the divine. But the more practical aspect, I would say, is the first step is what I call enter into beingness. And this is something not as a meditation practice per se, it is actually a life practice. It's something we should do every moment in our life. And what this means is simply that we are seeking within to manifest who we truly are in terms of beingness, where we don't need to do anything, we don't need to be anyone, we just be who we are, and that is what I call beingness. And a very simple exercise that I have used and I've taught many other people to use is to seek a sensation that we have of that we exist. It's actually quite remarkable that we exist and we don't need to do anything to exist. We maybe need to do something to maintain our body, to eat, and drink water and breathe air. But except for that, we exist, and it's to seek into that sensation that we exist. And when we do that, we drop all our persona, all aspect, what I call the false self. We just reside into the sensation to exist. And we can't explain how that sensation is. It's simply something everybody has to experience for themselves because there are no words for it. And that sort of is the first step. The second step I call, which is a little bit where you have to imagine for yourself, is after you found this sensation to exist, you practice that you have a little warmth around your chest. I think most people have experienced this. You practice to sit with that warmth. And then you start to imagine within yourself that you have a portal into your heart, and from that portal that comes a very beautiful, intense light that comes out, and it sort of fills our body and it shines out into the world. That is more to imagine, but there is a feeling with it, and that is that warmth, loving feeling that comes with that light. So it brings a little bit two aspects together there, both maybe a little bit that Buddhistic aspect, and the other is more the Christian aspect. You marry the two in these two exercises.
Okay. And this would be considered growing the light from within. This would this be considered like for the individual feeling that light, maybe for, it might be the first time they felt the light, or it might be the thousandth time they felt the light, but is it a warmth and a growth? Like, I guess what my question is once that light is experienced, can they expand upon that, and what does that feel like
when they are emanating it? yeah, they can expand on it. I think everybody has felt it in their life. Let me give you just a few examples. You might be out in nature and climbed a beautiful hill, and you're standing there looking out into the surrounding. Are you immense with the beauty of nature? In that moment, you have an empty head. You don't think anything. You just stand there and enjoying something immensely beautiful. And then you're having that warmth in your heart. You might not think in that way, but you have it. And it might be the same as you are listening to beautiful music, you get goosebumps all over your body, or you're looking deep into your eyes or your loving partner and so on. So everybody has experienced it. It's that they haven't labeled it as such and so on. So yes, you can grow it, but with it also comes that we need to transform what I call what is false within us to become more real, our real us, the true self. Who we really are, the true self, which is also the divine aspect of ourself. And as we're doing that transformation, which can be challenging, but it also brings in more and more the light within. So we need to work on ourselves and make that dedication to really strive to purify ourselves. And as we become more and more purer, we will have more and more access to feeling that loving light within.
And oftentimes we may be in this state of feeling the essence of light and love, and everything's flowing along rather swimmingly, and all of a sudden a fear hits us, or something happens and it triggers a fear, and all our growth or our evolution seems to like hit us in the face where reality is uncomfortable. So how can we use fear to evolve us and use it as an opportunity to rise above the fear through like a love or a forgiveness or something along that line?
Yeah, I mean, I often call the fear is a searchlight to find more love, because usually if we go towards the fear, we will find an opportunity to actually find more love. Fear is showing us where we have limited ourselves. So therefore, we should never push fear away or this type of reaction that we have. We should bring it to us. And what I mean with that is that the first time when we experience fear, sometimes we get also this little itchy feeling within. I think everybody knows this, that you want to respond to someone in a harsh way, you want to get angry, you get frustrated, and so on. Mm-hmm. And there is an itchy feeling within that you want to respond immediately. And when you have that itchy feeling, and when you have a fearful reaction, is instead of going into it or being afraid of the fear, we actually decide to be instant intimate with the fear. We bring it to us. And a very simple technique I've been using and I've taught other people is to label your fear that we often have. Most of us have a very similar fearful reaction to certain events, and these are often different for different individuals. And we could give it a name. We could call it Larry, or maybe Helen, or whatever we want, as a recognition that oh, now Larry is here again. I can feel you. I can feel you in me. I can feel that feeling in my stomach or in my cheeks or how I'm right. getting angry and so on. And I can recognize it by giving it a name, because when I do that, I become aware that it's there. Usually what happens when it comes up, we sort of become unaware, and it takes over our consciousness, and we respond, react automatically in a certain way. But by becoming intimate with it, we bring it to us. And then we don't buy into it. We let us to feel it fully. We feel it. And then we could become a little bit neutral about that feeling. We can just say, oh, my God, I just have an experience of Larry. I'm experience Larry right now. And by doing that, bringing that, so to speak, let it sit with us, we eventually open also our heart when we have practiced that, and we let Larry then eventually melt into the light of the heart. So we bring it step by step, closer and closer, and bring it to love, and then it's eventually will be transformed.
And this is just one of your many tools, because you do many workshops all over the world, and thousands of people have been benefited in finding their light through your work. How do you find the method of what you do different than maybe other spiritual teachings that are out there? Because there's so many concepts across the board, and you're really dealing with really getting into the core of the light and the love and the heart. So do you see that your teachings or your workshop may be quite advanced or different than others that are out there because of that?
It's a little bit difficult for me to answer, because I have walked so much my own path. I've attended a few workshops and of course read many books. So I have sort of taken my own, I walk my own path very much and follow very much my inner voice. What I, of course, recognize in reading many other people's work that, this is similar to what I also think about it and so on. But I think the gentle way has one particular flavor that I have thought is very important, and that comes with the word gentle. And it has to do with that spiritual practice is supposed to be loving and is supposed to be gentle. That is not to let's say, deceive ourselves that we avoid to see the truth, but in every step we should practice in such a way that we are loving towards ourselves, and that comes with being gentle and kind. So I think that's a particular flavor that I put on it, because the light within is supposed to be a soft light. It's supposed to be a light that is like you're bathing in something very comforting, and you can rest in it in and feeling completely comforted by the light and feeling very safe and secure. And that comes with that we are showing always in our practice a loving side.
That's wonderful. And there's a wonderful chapter I absolutely loved about choices in your book. And I really want to ask you to explain to the audience, how can we choose more wisdom-based choices over fear-driven choices?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... It sort of comes in the... Let's recognize that there are different type of choices we have.
Right.
We have the small little choice that may become in the spur of the moment, that let's say you're sitting in your office and a coworker comes in and they challenge you in a certain way, or maybe even your boss comes in and challenge you in a certain way. Then you have one type of choice to respond to that situation, and then you have another type of choice, which is something that you wrestle with. Should I change my job? Should I go in a different life directions and so on? And this is more choices that we might be we're thinking about it for a long time. So let's take the first choice. How should I respond to this situation? And it's a little bit that that we might then get triggered by our coworker. He pushes a button on us, and we are suddenly reacting, and we are feeling this frustration, this itchy feeling that I just talked about. I want to respond to this. I want to give back. He hurt me. I want to give back. So what we do in that situation is that we pause for a second. We could just recognize the itchy feeling that, oh, wow, now it comes. Let me pause for a few seconds here. Let me not go into that itchy feeling. Let me instead have it to sit with me. It stays there, but I don't respond in that moment to coming from that itchy feeling. And then instead, if we have practice to have this sensation to exist, and also practice to have the light in our heart, we seek to look at the other person, and instead to respond to what I call the false self in that person, because usually he was triggered by something to express his own false self. We try to look to the light and love in that person. And then we respond from that aspect of us to the other person aspect. And when we do that, we speak with our true self to the other person's true self, instead of going from triggered to be in our own false self, speaking to the other person's false self. Then we will have a we will sort of go down into a circle of negativity. If we do the opposite, we will go in a circle of positivity and more love. So this is something we could each practice in our daily life, to feel when I'm going to make a choice, I'm going to respond. Am I coming from this itchy feeling of being angry, frustrated, jealous, or am I coming from a more soothing, loving point within myself? And then I know which part I will respond from. When it comes down to the bigger choices we have in our life, one way is, again, to practice to bring in our true self by going through these steps of finding how to exist and being in that light. And when we are there, we somehow know what choice we want to make. We don't need to use our mind so much. We can actually, from that inner beingness, we know where we want to go. And the mind might come in and say, no, you can't do that.
Right.
You're not going to make enough money. You're not going to be rich if you make that choice. But we somehow know from within how we want to progress forward in this time. We might want to do that with someone helping us to be in that space. I might ask questions to us. I have done that with people when they want to make important decisions, to help them to bring that more deeper wisdom within, and then asking questions where they can't use their mind, so to speak.
And you, like we have said before, you found your own path. You didn't work with a guru or a spiritual teacher. You did, you know, study different aspects of Christianity and Buddhism and Taoism. Did you feel that there you found like a common thread or a common truth or a common awareness or insight as that followed each culture or religion?
Yes, I did, but it was interesting. It was reverse. I didn't study all these religions deeply to write this book as sort of bringing everything together.
Right.
I wrote this book, and then at the end, finished in the book, I thought maybe I should connect it to many of these religions. And then I went in and looked, and I said, oh my God, everybody's saying the same thing. If you go very, very deeply into the core of things, it's very similar. And I truly believe, actually, that many of these concepts that I present in this book is what's the original teaching of Christ. Actually, I can't prove that, but that's my sense what it was. And it's also very similar to what Buddha said and so on. So it's all. I think there is some level of truth. We just have to, it's very difficult to communicate that, and therefore we have to use different languages or use metaphors and so on that makes it to look different, but it's all the same.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question that is not off topic, but I had asked this to my first guest. In creating our choices here on in this reality, in our life, how can we create more of a heaven on earth?
Yeah, so I devote a little bit a chapter on this, actually, which is the last chapter called The Divine World, where I say that it all starts with ourselves.
Yes.
We actually, if we do the work, each of us, to transform what is false, and coming more to our true self. And we work then by expressing the true self, our divine aspect, and we connect with other people's true self, even when they are doing aggressions, even when they are doing expressing their false self. We still seek to express that towards their true self, which is actually their meaning of turning the other cheek. We are doing that. We will then, all of us, help to manifest the divine world. And as we also are seeing through our true self that we are all connected in a deep way, we have all different personality and experience life from each of us on an individual basis, but we are all deeply connected. And as we start to see that we actually, when we are not separate, we are actually working together, we will manifest something extraordinarily beautiful. I'm very
yes.
convinced about that.
And I believe the work and the work that you do is really catering to prove that on a scientific level as well. I mean, you're doing work here that not only incorporates the spiritual aspect, but you're actually kind of proving it on a scientific aspect. Am I right?
I mean, I'm not per se. I wouldn't say that I'm per se trying to prove spirituality in a scientific way. I'm a scientist, and I'm actually excited to be a scientist, also for the reason that, as I put in the book, that we are something much bigger than this world, and we are just experience this physicality, this physical world, and I think science is the tools to really understand how this physical world operates. It is not the tool to understand where we come from, where we originate from, but it's the tool to understand the physicality, and it's such a beautiful journey to be a spirit in human form and get to experience how this physicality really works by doing science in it.
Now, what is next for you? Because you were just on, goodness, it just escaped me. You were just on a documentary with Morgan Freeman, and the name of the documentary just escaped me.
Through the wormhole.
Thank you. Through the Wormhole. Yes. Talk to us about that. You were just on that as an upcoming scientist of the 21st century, and what's next for you? Because you're one of the great minds of our century, and I'm curious. I want to know what's going on.
So one of my passion is actually, if I just speak a little bit scientifically, one of my passion that was why I was on the Morgan Freeman show was that I'm studying water and trying to understand really how the molecular structure of water works. And I think water will eventually hold a lot of key for us to understand many, many things also about biology and our human form and so on, because we are all made of water. Actually, you are, depending on age, between 60 to 90% water. So that's one of my research topics. And I'm also working on artificial photosynthesis, where we have a vision that in the future, maybe we can make all our fuels coming from sunlight and water, and also taking carbon dioxide back from the atmosphere and so on. So these are visions, I think, for scientifically for the future. On the spiritual side, a little bit, I'm planning to work on another book, which probably will take quite some time. But the plan of that book is actually the future. How can the future look like?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, please keep in touch with me because I want to have you back on with that one. And this is, audience, I really, really, truly encourage all of you to get The Gentle Way of the Heart, Discover the Light Within, The Gentle Way of the Heart, Discover the Light Within by Anders Nilsson. It is a wonderful, wonderful book. Edgar Mitchell endorsed the book, and let me just read what our astronaut Edgar Mitchell wrote. He wrote, "This book describes a spiritual path that is simple to follow and based on the principles of love. His focus on gentleness and kindness is the perfect antidote to the trials and tribulations of the world we live in." And that really sums it up, because when you look at what we have to overcome in this world, we need so many more minds and souls like Anders Nilsson to give us the way and the light and the insight to guide ourselves in a more heartfelt, integrity, love light way. And Anders, this has just been a true gift to me to have you on the show today. And I want to guide everybody to you or your book or your website. So please take your time in telling the audience how they can connect with you. Of course, they can find The Gentle Way of the Heart at Amazon.com. But go ahead. Let them know how they can connect with you, your website, and whatever you would like to promote.
I have a website is up now called gentleway.me, M-E.
Okay.
And on that website, I will also post more information coming up. I also have written three essays on that website due to some discussion with various people. They people can read that, and they also there is a contact form there if the audience wants to make contact with me, and if there is any upcoming events, it will be posted on that website.
Oh, wonderful! So gentleway.me. Gentleway.me, everybody. Okay. Anders, thank you so much. If there was one message that you could give our audience, what would you like to leave our audience with today?
I want to give just one word, and that is that in these times that we live in now, I often hear that people are afraid of what's happening in the world. I just wanted to give the message to people to believe me when I'm saying this. There is a good world out there. We don't just get to hear so much about it. Keep the light and the compassion in your heart and shine it out to the world. It needs it. And everybody will also feel that compassion jointly, everybody together.
Oh, Anders, that is beautiful. I have been doing that since I was a small child, and I taught my children to do that. And when I'm even with a snarly cash ear, I'm sending that light out and just waiting for that smile to crack on her face. So it does work. It really, really, really does work. And that is the most powerful statement I've ever heard anybody say on my show. So audience, please take heed and listen to Anders Nilsson on Shining Your Light from Within, because the world needs your light. God bless you, Anders. You are a light, and thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities today. It has truly been my pleasure, and have a very blessed, safe travel today. I know you have a very busy schedule ahead of you, so thank you so much for taking time for Unlimited Realities and talking with me today and showing our audience how to provide more of a gentle way of the heart. God bless you, Anders, and all your work. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lee. Thank you so much, Lisa, and I also want to send my blessings to all the audience and everybody. Thank you so much for listening to me. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. God bless. Take care. That was an incredible, incredible, incredible guest, everybody. I am so glad that I was able to provide his insight and wisdom for you, because I truly, truly believe he's one of the pioneer scientists for us in our 21st century. I just have a real intuitive knower telling me he's coming out with some more genius upcoming. Stay tuned. So thank you, audience, for tuning in. I am so glad to be back doing my live shows again, and it's going to be a very fun and full holiday season with my shows upcoming. I've got Damian Brinkley scheduled for December. I've got some wonderful, wonderful guests. And thank you again for tuning in. God bless you all. Shine, shine that light. And when they're making you snarly, just breathe deep and still shine that light. God bless you all. All my love, all my light. Thank you for joining us. Have a very, very blessed Thanksgiving. Amen.